Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread
Jesus,
Bible Studies with
you.
David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus.
Hey, folks. God bless you. That's kind of a down south greeting there. Hey, folks. Which is where I live, so I can't help it. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And we bless you in Jesus' name. We're just going to ask the Lord to have mercy upon us and come and share some words with us and do His wondrous works too, Lord. We love to see the Lord's signs and wonders following, don't we? Praise be to God. Well, Father, we thank You for being our Father. We thank You for giving us the privilege of calling You Father. Thank You, Lord. Oh, praise You, praise You, praise You. We love You. We appreciate You so much, Lord. And we have such a sorry way of showing it, though. Help us, Lord. Help us. Give us grace to remember who You are and what You've done and how that we do not deserve it. And so, Lord, just help us. Just help us. Put the gratefulness in our heart that You deserve. And obviously, Lord, if You don't put it there, we're just in trouble. You know, we depend upon You for everything. We can do nothing without You, just as our Lord and Savior said. We can do nothing without You. So, Lord, have mercy on us. Put that gratefulness in our hearts. Put the faith in our heart that pleases You. Give us what You call in Romans Your gift of righteousness. Because, Lord, it just doesn't come natural to us. Comes natural to Jesus, and we know that Jesus is coming to live in us. We thank You so much, Lord, for Your good news. We thank You. We thank You, Lord, for reaching out there and touching the brethren, Lord, and meeting their needs, confirming the Word, as always, with signs and wonders and healings and deliverances and provisions. Thank You, Father. We depend upon You, Lord. And Lord, send Your latter rain quickly. Lord, You can do so much more through us with the anointing. We know the anointing can break the yoke. And that's what we need, Lord, the old yoke of the old man. Just Your anointing, Your mercy, Lord. Lord, help us to be merciful and loving to others. And help us to give what we will receive. Thank You, Father. Thank You. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Be with us in this meeting and anoint it, Lord, and touch the brethren to share their testimonies, Lord. We love to hear them come on the mic and share their wonderful testimonies that encourages people so much. And we praise You for that, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to answer a question here. We're going to do a TV program a little later, but I want to answer a question here that has been given to me about curses. It was told to me that someone said that I had put a curse on someone, okay? And this person said that I had cursed them, or he's been saying that I had cursed him, and which is kind of ridiculous, but I want to share with you what the Bible has to say about this. I had some questions that people have asked about curses in the New Testament. And I'll point out some things to you that might be interesting to you, okay? First of all, the Bible says in Proverbs 26, that in verse 2, that the curse that is causeless, literally in the Hebrew, cometh not to pass. The curse that is causeless cometh not to pass. So, I know Christians have asked, you know, can, you know, occultic people, you know, witches, so on and so forth. can they put curses upon you? Well, I want to tell you that whatever they put on you cannot last very long, you know, if you're walking by faith in the gospel, you know. And God's gospel breaks every curse for those that believe. Of course, if you believe you've got a curse, then you got one. And but the curse that is causeless. Now, what we're talking about is from God's point of view here. If there is a cause, that's the only way a curse can come upon a person, if there is a cause, according to the scriptures. If there is a cause. And this is absolutely from God's point of view, because the scripture says, for instance, in Numbers 23, let me read that to you. Numbers 23 and verse 8. And this is the story of Balaam and Balak. Some people probably would, you know, have issue with Balaam, but the Bible doesn't say he was a false prophet. Not once. It only points out that he was seeking to gain from his prophecy. That's what God rebuked him for, is seeking to gain from his prophecy. And but he was a very accurate prophet. Everything he said we know of in the scriptures was dead on. And verse 8 says, "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed?" Just how can that possibly be? If someone says that they've got a curse, I wouldn't call them a liar. I wouldn't doubt it a bit. But I have to say that nobody can curse whom God does not curse. Nobody. Okay. That's the clear word of God. And God also said in Numbers 22 and 12, "And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." In other words, you can't curse somebody that's blessed. Okay? You say, "David, I've had curses come upon me." Yeah, but let me tell you something, folks. They can come because of unbelief. They can come because of rebellion. They can come because of things hidden in your heart, like Job. You know, they can, but they always have a cause. And according to this, the cause has to do with God Himself. "How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied?" So therefore, if a curse comes on someone, what they need to do is pay attention to God. What is He telling you? Why is this upon you, right? And we also know, quite plainly, from Deuteronomy 28, it speaks about, the 27 and 28 speaks about the curse. And there's not one instance in here that it says that the curse comes from the devil. The Lord says He is the one that sends the curse. Okay. Now, does He use the devil? Of course. And He can use ministers to turn people over to the devil, who will curse them too. We know that from the New Testament, right? But God takes credit. First of all, Deuteronomy 27 and 26 says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not the words of this law to do them." You better agree with God's word. And that's what God is saying here. "Cursed be he that confirmeth not the words of this law." If you're a person that's trying to get around the word and tweak it for your own self-satisfaction or your own defense or anything like that, God says He'll send you a curse. Okay? Deuteronomy 28 and 15 says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Now, that's what God says. And the word for curse here is the exact same one as in Proverbs 26 and 2. Same word. Okay, so, and as you go down through here, you read this, you see very plainly that the Bible says over and over that God says He will do this. Verse 20 says, the Lord will send upon thee cursing. And then he lists a bunch of curses, you know. And verse 21, the Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee, so on and so forth, on down. 24, the Lord will make the rain of thy land powder and dust, right? 25 is, the Lord will curse thee to be smitten before thine enemies. And 27 is, the Lord will smite thee with the boil of Egypt, and so on and so forth. The Lord will, 28, smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment. And just all the way down through here, it's the Lord. 35, the Lord will smite thee in the knees and in the legs and the sore boils. So 36, he will bring thee and thy king that thou hast over thee unto, and so on and so forth. Just it just keeps on going. It's the Lord. He doesn't give credit to the devil for any kind of sovereignty whatsoever. Now, he uses the devil, but he uses vessels, all kinds of vessels of honor and dishonor, both spirit beings and earthly beings. He uses all of these, but he's the one that you have to deal with, and it's for a very good reason. So that if something comes upon you, you have to deal with him. It's so that you repent, so that you turn to him, so that you're very humble towards him. Okay? So you can't blame anybody for this. You got to go right back to the source. We're not giving credit to the devil. He didn't give credit to the devil. See? And even Paul, you know, in 1 Corinthians 5 and 5, when he turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, this wasn't what some people would consider a curse. But in effect, the devil cursed this man to make him count the cost and repent of his evil life. And in 1 Timothy 1 and 20, you know, Paul turned Hymenaeus and Alexander over to Satan. And that they might be taught not to blaspheme is what it says, you know. I'm suggesting, you know, that 1 Timothy 1 and 20 is probably blaspheming someone else besides the Holy Spirit. But don't really absolutely positively know that, but that's what I'm suggesting, and there's a reason for that. They were taught not to, you know. And quite often when a people blaspheme the Holy Spirit, the Bible says pretty plainly that they don't get forgiveness for it. Jesus said they would not get forgiveness for it. That's in Matthew 12. I'll read that to you. Matthew 12 and 31, is it? Let me see. Let me read that to you. But no doubt, see, the word blaspheme means to speak against, to rail against, to so on and so forth. And it can be against people. It can be against God's ministers. If you do that, you'll get the same result. But against the Holy Spirit, Jesus said there is no forgiveness. Let me read that to you. Matthew 12, let's see, verse 27. They had accused Jesus of doing his works by Beelzebub. Now, they accused him of doing his works by the devil. Okay? And the same people have accused me of spirit of divination and witchcraft. And when they accused Jesus of doing this, he said, blasphemy against me will be forgiven, right? Verse 31. Therefore I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy that shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever shall speak against, which is what the word blasphemy means, speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in that which is to come. Pretty dangerous, right? And, you know, the same person that accused me of doing works by a spirit of divination and witchcraft is one who, I quote from his audio, I know David is an anointed teacher. And that was just a couple of months back here. An anointed teacher. You know what anointed is, right? It's somebody who is filled with the Spirit to do what they do. Now, if someone is an anointed teacher, and you say that that anointing is a spirit of divination, you're doing the same thing Jesus is talking about here. You're attributing a work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. That's very dangerous. Very dangerous, because you're not going to be forgiven that, not in this life and not in the life to come, is what Jesus said. Be careful, folks. Don't open your mouth until you know God has spoken. And I want to tell you who God is going to use to judge people like that. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 that be in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is made full. God will use ministers to do this, like he did Paul in 1 Timothy, like he did Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. He will use ministers to do this. But he's not going to use somebody that's not obeying the Lord. And if they do it, the person that's not obeying the Lord, it's going to come back on them. Okay? The Bible says, "Who art thou, O man, that judges?" When you judge others, you judge yourself. Paul said that in Romans chapter 2. You know? In other words, it's going to come back on you, folks. With what measure you mete it out, it'll be measured unto you again. Some people could complain that others are putting curses on them, but the fact that the curse is on them should tell you something right there. And you can't blame anybody else if you got a curse on you. Because the curse that is causeless alighteth not, and no curse is going to come on anybody except God says so. You know, the Bible says in Lamentations, that who saith a thing and it cometh to pass except I the Lord have commanded it. Except I the Lord have commanded it. Nobody can command anything to happen except the Lord himself has commanded it. And, you know, that should tell us something. I mean, for a person to admit and confess that they've been cursed tells you something right off. But the fact that God himself says he commanded it, that's Lamentations 3 and 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High cometh there not evil and good? Wherefore doth a living man complain a man for the punishment of his sins? That's very plain. Nobody can command something and it come to pass without God being behind it. And Deuteronomy 27 and 28, God says, he's the one that sends the curse. Okay. Now, you and I, we know. We've studied enough of the Word to find out that Jesus bore the curse. That's not for people that are willfully disobedient. It won't help them. They'll stay under the curse. It's not for people that don't believe. You know, because there are Christians who are entitled to the blessing of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 and 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus. So, Jesus bore the curse. For those that really know and understand the gospel, they're certainly not going to claim the curse. For anybody that's got any faith, they're certainly not going to claim the curse. They're going to claim the blessing. Because if you believe in the curse, the devil has a right to curse you. He will take advantage of that. He will curse you. For a person that doesn't really understand the gospel, they might claim a curse, but that's very foolish. Now, if you're willfully disobedient, there isn't much you can do about it, because it's going to come anyway. You can try to exercise your faith, but you won't have any faith, because your heart condemns you, right? In Matthew 18 and 34, you know, the Bible says, if you don't forgive from your heart, if you don't forgive everyone from your heart, that my Father will turn you over to the tormentors until you pay what was due, right? Matthew 18, 34, 35. So shall my Heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not everyone, your brother, from your hearts. If you've got a heart full of anger and bitterness towards others, blaming others for your problem, then you're very likely going to get turned over by God himself to the devil to be cursed. You can't blame anybody for that. I shared with you, one of our past meetings, how that the Lord spoke to me over at the corner of my house one day, and he said something that the Bible already says about his people. But he spoke it to me personally. He says, I'm going to curse them that curse you, and I'm going to bless them that bless you. And the next day, a man fell dead in the street out here in front of our house. And it was in the exact same place where his son cursed me to my son. Actually, at the time I was being told this, that was what was happening. Now, I didn't know it. The Lord didn't need me to say anything. I didn't say a word. Didn't even think it. Didn't know it until this happened, you see. And God defends his people. And he will continue to defend those who speak the truth and those who are anointed of him. He will continue to do that. And when the wicked speak against him and judge those that are the servant of another, the Lord will defend them, as we have seen here. And I remember years ago, God uses ministers sometimes, like he did the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 5 and 5 and 1 Timothy 1 and 20. He uses ministers sometimes to bring chastening upon people that are rebellious in the church. You can't chasten anybody with a stick. You can't use any kind of physical chastening upon rebellious children of God. But God gives authority and dominion to his ministers. He sends them with this. They have it. And it's not for them that they do this. Anybody that uses or tries to use the power of God for their own selfish purposes will find nothing but failure. The 1 Corinthians 5 and 5 wasn't because Paul was being attacked. It was because this man was bringing leaven into the church. And, of course, we're seeing a lot of that nowadays, too, And Hymenaeus and Alexander, they were blaspheming. They were speaking against either God's ministers or God himself, probably God's ministers. And God sent a curse upon them. Well, the devil does administer much of the curse. He does administer much of it, but you can't say it comes from wicked people on God's people. Balaam would have been considered wicked, obviously, because he was wanting to take a bribe to curse the children of Israel. And God says, no, you can't curse them because they're blessed. You can't curse them because they're blessed. Well, I want to tell you the same thing is true today. There's nothing changed, folks. You can't curse people who are blessed. It's fruitless. And the wicked might try it, but I want to tell you what will happen. It'll come back on their heads. Did you know that? Yeah. With what measure you meet, it'll be measured unto you again. You see, who art thou, O man, that judges? A man has no authority to judge. Now, does God judge through men? Of course he does. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The spiritual man judges all things, and he is judged of no man. Now, how do those two verses fit together? Who art thou, O man, that judges? When you judge others, you judge yourself. And the spiritual man judges all things, and he's judged of no man. The spiritual man is in league with the Holy Spirit. Now, he can judge. In other words, God can do something through you that you cannot do yourself. He warns us in Matthew 5 not to call anybody a fool, because you'll be in danger of the judgment. Doesn't he say that? Well, how come in Galatians 3 Paul calls the Galatians foolish Galatians? Was it Paul or was it the Holy Spirit? So you see, what we cannot do in the flesh without getting judged, without bringing a judgment upon ourselves, the Holy Spirit can do through us, because it's not us, it's Him. If you prophesy, that's a false prophecy, folks. But if God prophesies through you, that's a true prophecy. Okay. Now, if you're angry with your brother, you're headed for judgment. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. But you know, the Bible says Jesus looked around about on them with anger because of the hardness of their heart. He tells us He's going to judge the man that's angry, but then he was angry. Well, who do you suppose it was that was angry then? It was the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've got any personal motivation for being angry, I would suggest you not vent that, that you get rid of that you repent of that, because anger is unforgiveness, and God says it'll turn you over to the tormentors if you're not forgiving your brother. He'll turn you over to the tormentors. So you can't blame anybody else for your curse if it comes upon you, because you've got bitter, angry criticism towards other people. You can't blame anybody but yourself. The curse that is causeless alighteth not. Look at the cause. Don't be blaming other people. Look at the cause. If you as a Christian are enduring a curse, say genetic or passed on, you know, from generation to generation, or some disease or something like that, endure your trial faithfully, holding fast to the Word of God, because you're not under a curse. Isn't that true? I mean, you're claiming by faith the benefits of the kingdom, and rightly so, even if you have to endure a trial of your curse. But, you know, the Bible says that when the wicked do such things, it will come back on their heads. No, nobody can blame me for cursing anybody. Psalm 109 and 17 says, "Yea, he loved cursing, and it came unto him." You hear that? He loved cursing, and it came unto him. He delighted not in blessing, and it was far from him. Wow. You mean we can be cursing other people, or being a curse to other people, and it will come back on us? Well, of course, it'll come back on us. Exactly right. Now, the Bible says in John 3 and 27 that a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. If you got a curse, folks, it ultimately is going to make its way back to God. It might have come through a man, it might have come through the devil, but it'll always make its way back to God, because He said it's not possible for you to be cursed without Him. And Jesus Himself said that He could do nothing without the Father. Now, if Jesus could do nothing without the Father, can I do anything without the Father? But certainly not. Could I bring a curse on anybody unless it was the Father's will? Certainly not. Okay, so, for anybody to admit that they've been cursed, first of all, tells you that they're not confessing the gospel. They don't believe the gospel. And you don't want to go into the wilderness with anybody like that, folks, because, I mean, this is somebody that doesn't understand that they have given authority to the devil. Okay? And second of all, it doesn't come from man. It didn't come from man in the first place. It comes from God. And you have to repent. You can continue on in the stubbornness and blaming everybody else for your problems, but you have to repent. If you don't repent, it's going to come upon you. Jesus said, "I can of myself do nothing." John 5 and 30. Everything Jesus did, it was because of the anointing of the Father. You know, we have an awesome example of this in Numbers 16. Look at that. Show you this. Numbers 16. This is the story, as you know, of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They brought a curse upon themselves by usurping the authority that God gave to Moses and to Aaron. And they were trying to blame Moses and Aaron for their problems. when they were only mouthpieces. You know, they're just the messenger boys, that's all. But these wicked men were trying to blame their problem on Moses and Aaron and trying to usurp the authority of the ministry. And verse 28 says, Moses said, "Hereby shall you know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind." And as a matter of fact, that's what Jesus said. "I can of myself do nothing." Okay? And so what did he do? The very next thing, I'll just read on down. It says, "If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me." "But if the Lord make a new thing, and the ground open its mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall understand that these men have despised the Lord." So, you know, when somebody's got a curse on them, they sure couldn't blame Moses, could they? All he was a mouthpiece, that's all. Just a mouthpiece. Verse 31, "And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. So they and all that appertained unto them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the assembly. And all the men, all of Israel that were round about them, fled at the cry of them." They said, "Lest the earth swallow us up." So they got away from them, right? And we know what the earth swallowing people up is. It means your flesh swallowing you up, being overcome by the flesh. I mean, "She that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth." They were swallowed alive by the earth, which is your flesh, you see. And ministers nowadays, many are swallowed up by their flesh. They're in all kinds of lusts. And they can't blame anybody but themselves. These men couldn't blame anybody but themselves. They tried to blame Moses, and the people that were around him tried to blame Moses. Verse 41, "And on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'You have killed the people of the Lord.'" Kind of ludicrous, isn't it? Anybody that reads the story thinks, "Well, that's dumb. Why would they say, you know?" Well, that's the same thing that's happening now, folks. You can blame the vessel, or you can go back to the Lord and say, "Lord, I repent. Why did you do this to me?" Right? "You have killed the people of the Lord." And it came to pass, when the congregation was assembled against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tent of the meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared, and Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of the meeting. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." Why? Because they were given credit and blaming Moses for bringing this judgment upon wicked people. And guess what? God was about to judge them too. Be careful, folks. Be careful. If God's spanking you, you better humble yourself to Him. Don't go blaming anybody else for it. A man has no authority to curse anybody. Verse 46, "And Moses said unto Aaron, 'Take thy censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and lay incense thereon, and carry it quickly unto the congregation, and make atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and the plague is begun.' And Aaron took as Moses spake, and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on the incense, and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. And they that died by the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the manner of Korah." Wow. And that was because what? They were trying to blame men for a curse that God sent. The men that were merely mouthpieces, and God's wrath went against them. Well, first of all, these were servants of God. There wasn't any spirit of divination in them or witchcraft. These were servants of the Lord. The word of the Lord went forth out of them. Now, can someone be used of God in the New Testament to speak what most people would consider a curse? Well, you just saw it, Apostle Paul, but, you know, we've got other cases, like Acts 13. Let me read that to you. And when they had gone through the whole island unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of understanding. The same called unto him Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn aside the proconsul from the faith. But Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fastened his eyes on him and said, O full of all guile and all villainy, thou son of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Well, Paul knew a little something about the curse of blindness, didn't he? You remember he was persecuting God's people, and God smote him with blindness. And here he is being used as an obedient servant of the Lord to judge a wicked man who was hindering the gospel. And it goes on to say, and immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. This is a teaching of the Lord, not a teaching of man here. You know, when people get out of line, God has given authority to his ministers. They are nothing. They are just mouthpieces, that's all. They have to be clean, they have to be obedient, or he won't use them. He won't use them like that. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is made full. Because if you're disobeying in the same area and you speak a word, well then, it's going to come back on you. See? So, I tell you, we got to fear the Lord. In the days to come, there's going to be Ananias and Sapphira. And there's going to be like these people who were smitten to death in the manner of the Korah Rebellion, in the manner of Moses and Aaron, who were servants of God, speaking the word of God. It's coming, folks. It's coming. Listen, what does God say about the curse in Isaiah 54? Let me read that. Let's read in verse, 13. And all the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they may gather together, but not by me. And whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall because of thee. Notice what the Lord says here. You know, wicked men cannot come against God's people who are delivered from the curse and get away with it. Verse 16, Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the fire of coals and bringeth forth a weapon for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. See, the Lord himself takes authority for any wasting destroyer, whether you think that's a beast kingdom or whether you think it's the devil, doesn't make any difference whatsoever. He is the one. He takes credit for it. Verse 17, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now, who is he talking about? Those who are taught of the Lord, it says. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. So who could speak a judgment upon those who are taught of the Lord. Nobody. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness which is of me, saith the Lord. Their righteousness which is of me. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. So, anything happens to you, folks, you got to go first to God. You got to go first to God Almighty. And you got to find out why He did this. Because He does take credit for this. And He gets a little bit, obviously from the Scriptures, angry at people that don't give Him credit here. You know, the Arminian doctrine is a strong delusion. And in our day, and especially in prosperous parts of the world, it seems to thrive. But the truth is, it doesn't give credit to God for doing what He says He does. They basically believe that only good comes from God and all the bad comes from the devil, and that the devil has some sort of form of sovereignty, basically, some form of free will. The Bible doesn't give him that, especially dealing with God's children. The Bible don't give him that power. But men do. And it's a way of getting out of answering to God for your sins. When God spanks you, folks, it's God spanking you. You know, go to Him. Ask Him. Find out why. And if you confess your sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's not for willfully disobedient people, because if you sin willfully after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins. If you've been warned and you keep doing it, even if you justify yourself, even if you twist the Scriptures, it won't do you any good. God will spank you. You know, I was in a church a few years ago, and I shared the word there. It was not a full gospel church, so I was being very careful, but I was sharing testimonies of the Lord's healing of me and being very consistent at it, and I did it with a lot of grace, and I was watching the faces of the people in this congregation, because I knew most of them had never heard anything like that. And I was watching their faces, and I could see they were receiving it. And matter of fact, we ended up praying for some of them, and God healed them. But made all the elders mad. This church was, you know, not a full gospel church. The elders were not elders, because they hadn't been ordained, not God's form or fashion in the Scriptures at all. But it wasn't according to their doctrine. This was not a full gospel church. But their people were sickly. They were having trouble. There was a lot of people there that were sick and needing help from God. And these guys were standing in the way, basically, with their theology. And there was one elder there out of the, I don't know, five or six that were there. There was one. He was totally with me. I mean, he heard and he was there. You know, it was all him. And he was just joyous, grinning from ear to ear. But every one of the rest of those elders came against me. Do you know that God made every one of them sick so that they couldn't show up for some time? They didn't even show up at their own church meetings for some time. I know, because I went there. I kept going back, you know. And the people would speak up and say, "Where's all of our elders? You know, where's all of our elders?" You know, they were all sick because they withstood the word of the Lord. And I remember when I first came to this town, I was teaching in a meeting and was received very well. And but there were two other ministers there. One of them was the pastor of this particular church, and the other one was an evangelist who had come to speak. And neither one of these guys were particularly righteous. You know, they were doing things that were sneaky and out of line and out of order and being a bad witness to the people of God and basically, you know, showy type people, you know. And one day I said, "Lord, what do you want to do about this, you know?" And the Lord reminded me of Abimelech and the men of Shechem. After I asked him, that's what he reminded me of. And, you know, the men of Shechem colluded with Abimelech to kill the sons of Gideon and give the kingdom to Abimelech. And so it was an evil alliance. And basically these two people had an evil alliance because they would get up in front of the church and pat one another on the back, you know, and how great so-and-so is and how great so-and-so, and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I was getting kind of sick listening to it. And I said, Lord, what do you want to do about that? And he reminded me of that. And I said, okay, Lord. You know what the Lord did, by the way? He separated Abimelech from the men of Shechem by sending evil spirits in between them. He said, God doesn't send evil spirits. Go back and read it, folks. Yes, he does. He sent evil spirits to Saul. He sent evil spirits that came between them and divided them, and they made war on one another. So I said, okay, Lord, you're saying that because this is an evil alliance here and not for good, and the things that they're doing are dishonest and so on and so forth, you want me to pray this? And so I did. I prayed. I said, okay, Lord, please send your spirits in between these two wicked men. Folks, I prayed that one evening. The next morning, I heard that these two had fallen out with one another and were angry with one another and didn't want to even talk to one another again. And you say, well, David, why would you do such a thing? How could I do such a thing? If you're listening to the verses that we just read, who saith a thing and it cometh to pass, except I, the Lord, hath commanded it? See, who said I did it? How could I do it? Who am I to do anything like that? And sometimes he's cursed people that just cursed me, and I didn't even know anything about it, like that situation with the man who had put cursing in his son, by the way, raised him up that way, and he died out there in the street. Well, I wouldn't even have thought about doing that, but nobody could blame me for it. I didn't have anything to do with it. But God said he would bless them that blessed me and curse them that cursed me. And I tell you what, he's done that over the years because I've been faithful to the Lord. And that's not bragging, because to tell you the truth, I'm nothing without him. He's given me grace. He's drawn me. He's given me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. I've paid my dues. I've gone through a lot of suffering. I've gone through, you know, because of walking with the Lord and desiring to walk by faith and all these things. And people that haven't gone through all that, you know, seek to put their curses upon me. Well, it ain't going to work because God is my Savior. And he'll return their curses right back upon their heads. And anyway, I've got a lot of testimonies of situations like that where that the Lord defended me. And I know that he will continue to do that. It's a dangerous thing, folks. It's a dangerous thing to come against somebody who represents the Lord. You know, we're ambassadors for Christ. You know, it's a dangerous thing to do something to an ambassador on this earth, much less an ambassador from heaven. It's a dangerous thing. Oh, I know there's arrogant men, and they want to defend themselves, and they have their own ambitions, and they'll run off at the mouth, but they won't get away with it. And I thank God that he does defend his children. It doesn't have to be just ministers. Any of his children, he'll defend them. And many of you out there, you've got testimonies of the same thing, that people who cursed you ended up cursed. You know, people who not just cursed you, but were a curse to you. In other words, a curse can be many things, you know, not just blasphemy. It can be many things. So I say, fear the Lord and depart from evil. I shared with you about the two women that actually got up in my face and rebuked me. And both of them got sick that day. Both of them went to the hospital that day. One of them had a really bad kidney infection. The other one had a brain tumor. I didn't have anything to do with that. The Lord just told me, hey, just be quiet. I'll take care of it. He did. He took care of it. But it brought the fear of the Lord to these two ladies, and I'm glad of that. I mean, I wouldn't want anything to happen to them. I don't want anything to happen to anybody. I would like everybody to repent. And I was so glad when they came to me and, you know, asked my forgiveness and asked me to pray for them. I was so glad to pray for them. I always am. It's not a competitive thing with me. You know, I want to see all of God's people repent. And they did, and God healed them, too. Thank you, Father. But I don't do that lightly. If I'm called upon by the Lord to turn somebody who is in rebellion over to the devil for the destruction of their flesh, I don't do that lightly. I know what the Lord has shown me, that if this old flesh is judging for the purpose of retaliation or anything like that, I'm going to get a spanking. And I fear the Lord. I don't want any spankings. And when he tells me something like that, I say, "Are you sure, Lord? Is that you, Lord? Give me a sign, Lord." I'm just careful. I'm real careful, you know, because I know what his word says. Who art thou, O man, that judges? God will send his judgment upon you for defending yourself or retaliating, you know. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." And yes, he will. I tell you what, folks, if we haven't had a confirmation, a powerful confirmation of God's defense in the last couple of months, I just don't know what is. The devil has tried everything to stop these videos from going forth, and every time he's had to back off. Because we stood by faith, the brethren out there stood by faith, and in every case, a miracle after miracle after miracle. Even Bob sitting here, he had his computer healed, you know. We put that testimony in the testimonies. It's real good, you know. God just one right after another. Praise be to God. I mean, we weren't slowed down. Because whenever anything happened, we immediately got the deliverance, just one right after another. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you for defending us. We thank you for opening the doors before us. And thank you for granting repentance to those that are coming against us. And, Lord, we love them. We just ask your grace and your mercy towards them. And we pray that anything that's been passed on to them through their childhood, through their lineage or whatever, any spirit that has taken advantage of them, that they be delivered of it, Father. Would you grant repentance, Lord? We thank you. We thank you for your mercy, God. Paul was an enemy of the church. Oh, he thought he was doing the will of God, but he was an enemy of the church, Lord, and you granted him grace. You turned him around and you made him a great servant of the Lord. And Lord, we want to see more Pauls, Lord. We want to see more people who are fighting against your people and against your church, Lord. We just want to see you give such grace that these people turn around and serve you and not live under the curse of that blindness that Paul lived under, or the curse that fell upon Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, or the curse that fell on Hymenaeus and Alexander, blasphemy. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, Lord. We know that people do things in ignorance and foolishness and pride and retaliation and anger. And we just ask, Lord, you send your grace to turn these Pauls around, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're not worthy that you should defend us, but we do thank you. And we know that the Lord Jesus bore our curse, and we stand on that in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for blessing our brethren out there who love you, and even wherever they are along the maturity path, Lord, that you would have mercy upon their foolishness and overlook their failures, and as you've taught us, your blood does, Lord. And grant them grace to serve you, Father. And we just praise you. We praise you. Lord, we know that your grace is going out through the word to convict, to restore the fear of the Lord, to cause people to question you and confess their sins to you and to ask for your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that you're giving it and you're blessing them and that you're going to deliver them from the curse that's come upon them for these things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Oh, praise be to God.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus. Your mercy stands at your